So a very short reading this evening from Matthew chapter 7, just verses 13 and 14. A famous passage that you probably all know about the narrow gate and the wide gate, the narrow path and the wide path. And we think Sundays are easy. This evening, I'm quite tired. We've had big votes today, and much as actually I didn't really have anything to do other than tick boxes the same as everybody else in the congregation. When I was employed here at Palmerston Place, one of the things that I was employed to do, or that was in my job description, was to try and do what I could to facilitate the union between Palmerston Place Church and our neighbours at Gorgie Dalry Stenhouse. And actually, it's been quite an easy job. We've got two congregations who love God. We've two congregations who follow God's word closely, who love God's word. Two congregations who know that they need to act in the world to make God's love known to other people. And you might think, therefore, it was an easy journey. And in comparison to many, it has been an easy journey. But I was lying in bed last night, talking to Wendy, and saying things like, what if they vote no? What do I do then? To be fair, she made the ever-sensible comments, the things that she does. Wendy said to me, has anyone said to you that they're going to vote no? Has anyone indicated that? I'm like, no, no one has at all. I'm like, I don't think you need to worry. But worry is something that we do. Worry is not something that we should do. We worry about things because we think they're going to be hard. We see problems all around us, but there aren't problems all around us. What we have all around us is a God who loves us and a God who surrounds us with his presence, with the gift of the death of his son, Jesus, on the cross. And why is the death of a son a gift? It's a gift because it gives us the chance to be reconciled to God in heaven. It's a gift of freely given grace, the chance to get back to be with God and to be close to God throughout all eternity, something that was denied from mankind, humanity, at the fall, at the point when God's perfect creation was spoiled. Because our God is perfect, and perfect is something that's very difficult to be. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount over the past few weeks, and we've been looking at what that sermon requires of us. We've heard good moral teachings. We've heard that there's much more beyond those good moral teachings. There is a God, there is love, there is a will for the best in this world. But what we keep hearing about are requirements. Now, there are sensible ones to ask, seek, and knock. There are ones about not judging others. There's ones about being discerning. There's ones about not worrying, which is something that's so difficult to do. We've looked at fasting. We've looked at what treasures might be available. We've looked at salt and light. We've looked at the Old Testament laws. We've looked at the golden rule as well. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. And there's a lot in that. And there's a lot in that that is really difficult to follow. It's hard to do the right thing. It's hard to be the person that God wants you to be. And this is the contrast that Jesus is making in this part of the Sermon on the Mount. The idea between what we perceive as the easy road, the one that doesn't require difficult decisions, the one that just requires us to look after ourselves, and the narrow road, the one that requires us to be the best that we can be, not on our own, but be the best that we can be in companionship with our loving God. The fact that the gate to heaven is a narrow gate doesn't mean that it's a restrictive gate. It doesn't mean that it's a gate that isn't open to anyone and everyone to walk through. Anyone can become a Christian. Anyone can make it to heaven. But we don't make it on our own merits. We make it from God's free gift. And we don't act as we should on our own merits, because we can't be perfect. Jesus gave many fine moral teachings, but we shouldn't just look at them as moral teachings, because these are the words of God on earth. These are so much more than fine moral teachings. These are a window into the heart of our God and into the mind of our God, a chance to see what we should be and who God wants us to be. The narrow and the wide gates. As I say, I'm tired this evening. I've been quite stressed. All seems to have gone well. I suppose there's still a chance that Presbytery may vote down the union, but I think that unlikely. I have been on tenterhooks about this because I've been scared. I have been scared. I know when I pray about it, when I talk to Wendy about it, when I talk to people in this church about it, they all say, no, I think it will be okay. And they were right to think that. God told me not to worry about it. But I still couldn't quite let go, because I still thought in my head, part of this is my job, and part of this is my responsibility. It's something that I spoke about in a series, in this series of sermons on the Sermon on the Mount a few weeks ago. The idea that I'm too self-reliant. And quite often, I am. But in being too self-reliant, we're too likely to go through the wide gate and go down the easy road, because it is easier to rely on ourselves than it is to give control to our God, to recognize that it is our God who is important. It's our God who guides us. It's our God who is the source of everything that is good in the world. It's our God who looks after us. It's our God who has given us this meal that we will share tonight, our reenactment of the Last Supper, the meal that Jesus had with his disciples before he was taken to Calvary and crucified. As we go through the institution of the Lord's Supper, and I explain through familiar words the meaning of this meal, Christ is here with us. And we don't believe that Jesus becomes a bit of bread, or that the wine in the cups is blood. But those things contain something of God in them. We don't know what that is. This is another thing that we describe as being a mystery. And we have to accept that there are mysteries in our lives as well, because we can't rely on ourselves for everything. It's not given to us to know and understand all that God wants in the world. It's not given to us to even understand exactly what is happening when we take communion together. What it's given to us, though, is that God loves us, God wants the best for us, and God wants us to follow his will in our lives. This is the foundation of our faith. That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is our faith. And we should be daily asking our Lord and our God to help that faith to grow, to blossom in our lives. Because when it blossoms in our lives, it will infect those we come across. They'll see the goodness. Not the goodness that comes from us, but the goodness that comes from our God that is just reflected in us. But it's not easy. Jesus described the way to heaven as being the narrow gate because it does have a cost to us in following him. The cost isn't something that is unfair. It's not something that God, in spite, requires us to do to earn forgiveness. Forgiveness is given freely. But how can we show to the world that we've accepted who God is, who Christ is, what has happened, if we continue to just sit selfishly on our own looking after number one? That's the easy thing to do, to always look after ourselves, to always try and rationalize things in our own head. What we need to do is learn to depend on our God. Know that the truth in our lives comes from our God, that the right paths in our lives come from connecting to our God, not from being self-centered, but from being God-centered. I pray that when we take communion together later this evening, that you get a sense of God's real presence and love for you as we take communion. That you get a sense of just how much God did in dying on the cross. But you also get a sense of just how much you are given by that. How much you are loved and shown that love because of that act. This is our faith, Lord. Please help our faith to grow. Amen.